welcome to another edition of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. I am your host, and my co-host tonight, once again, is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, so far, this makes, I think, three in a row that you've been on co-hosting with me. I guess I haven't scared you away.
Oh, it's an honor. I want to thank you.
It's an honor also for you being on and giving us your insight, being the journalist that you are. And I will say, an admired journalist, I'm an admirer of your work. And I do believe that you report fairly and accurately, unlike some of our other colleagues in the media today. And you know my thoughts about them. I even sent you an article today on NPR and how they are firing one of their top editors because he came out and criticized NPR for their coverage of Trump.
And now, I think he made the point, the simple point at one point, he said every single person in this room out of, I guess, like 30-something staffers, there's not one single Republican. And I think he may be a Democrat himself. He just pointed it out to them that this isn't a balanced newsroom in terms of perspective, and I guess they couldn't handle it.
You see, that bothers me. It really does bother me because now you have groupthink. No one is going to think outside the box, and that's not how journalism should be. And for the longest, I would say back in the 90s, you didn't know a particular journalist's political affiliation because they kept it from you. But then during the latter part of the 90s, I remember it so clearly. I think it was the AP that came out and said that they were going to start allowing their journalists to give their opinions in the news. And I remember Barbara Walters coming out saying that she didn't think that was a good idea. And she said, you know, like right now, she said, you guys don't know my political leaning. She said, because it's not, I shouldn't be part of the story. Walter Cronkite, the same thing. And I think most of them were Democrats, but you didn't know it because they didn't wear it on their sleeves, like the so-called journalists today. How can you be fair and unbalanced when you have purposefully put skin in the game? And I think it was a bad decision when we started to celebrate journalists and allow journalists to go on talk shows and to compete in different game shows. I thought the line has been crossed. And now look at what we have. We have a bunch of over-glorified journalists wanting to be celebrities that are there that people are admiring. I remember when Anderson Cooper had his short-lived talk show. And I thought, why does he need a talk show? Well, this has been his fame. He gained all this popularity during the Gulf War and then during 9/11. This coverage of 9/11, and people started to like him. So I guess he wanted to take that and build a brand. And so many others are the same way. I remember Meredith Vieira, who was on The Talk at one point. She even took a step back because she said, I don't like where our profession is going. And fast forward today, look at where we are. You have wannabe journalists on TV claiming to be talk show hosts, giving their narrative of the news, and people not understanding journalism. It's confusing, Heather. You don't know what to believe, what not to believe, because back in the day when Walter Cronkite would come on, people believed him because of his voice, and he was given the news and saying, this is the way it is. But today, I was watching Joy Reid the other day. She's not a journalist. She's just a talk show host. She came out and said, in reference to Trump's this criminal trial that is, by all legal experts have looked at this and said there's no there. And we've been speaking about this for the past two shows, and we're doing so because the trial is ongoing and it's expected to last for 2 months unless some judge comes in and says we need to end the charade. This makes absolutely no sense. We're bastardizing our jurist system. That being said, she came out and she said, in a celebratory voice, she said, look at the judges and the attorneys that are prosecuting Trump. One happens to be a black man in New York. One was a black woman who's taken away Trump's money. And then there's another black woman in Atlanta who's going to try him also. And then she goes, yeah, let's hear it for DEI. diversity and equity. And in my opinion, it stands for didn't earn it. But for her, it's, oh yeah, look at what's happening. She's openly saying these black people, they're prosecuting this white man. Now imagine if the tables were turned and if a white person, talk show or journalist, were to say the exact same thing. They would be marching in the streets and saying racism, white supremacy. But she's been giving the okay to say that. She should have been fired on the spot. Had that been a white person to slip up and make a mistake, that person would have been embarrassed, that they probably would have resigned. Remember Megyn Kelly, when she came out and said that she thought there was nothing wrong with blackface during Halloween? They fired her. But fast forward today, Joy Reid, who happens to be a homophobe, go back and look at some of her tweets that she's been lying and saying, oh no, someone came, hacked me and they put all these racist statements, homophobic statements. No, Joy, you did it. Stop lying. They know she did it. They said they were going to investigate her, but they didn't do it. Sunny Hosting is another. She's supposed to be an attorney. She got her degree from Notre Dame, but now she's, and at one point, Heather, she was really good. She could dissect the news. She could dissect cases. But the moment they put her on The View and she saw, I'm a celebrity, she took leave of all of her senses. And now she's promoting this same crazy propaganda that the white man is after the black man and they're going to get us. She knows better. And that's the reason why I'm calling them out tonight, because no one else wants to do it. But I'm going to call all of them out because they're not journalists. The degree that they got, they should take it and wipe their bottoms with it, because it's not worth the print that it's on. This is how much these individuals have bastardized our government, our legal system, and journalism. I have a degree in journalism, and I look at it and I shake my head, because of what these individuals have brought it to. Oh, anybody can just make up stuff. We're supposed to report the news fairly and accurately. But instead, oh, they're part of this whole circus here in New York of going after Trump. The circus arrives in Manhattan, with the ringleaders being this Judge Marchand and his cohorts, the media. They can't wait to go on the news and talk about this story and just go on and on and on. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is stumbling and fumbling his way through the key battleground states, hoping that he could buy votes by telling young people, oh, we're going to write off your student loans and we're going to give money to this person, that money, this person. You get money, you get money. Everybody gets money. Meanwhile, over in Israel, Iran is using the money that Joe Biden and Obama freed up to destroy our ally, and possibly, Heather, to come after Americans, because they've already been shouting in the streets, death to America. This is a circus in America. It is a circus in downtown Manhattan. And on After Dark with Robin Andrew, I am going to call it out every chance I get. And I will say again, the so-called media in its current form should be shut down. Not a free press. Do not get it confused. But what we see right now, it is not a free press. It is a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party.
But you and I disagree about this, Rob. You know my position is just, you know, you may be right, but I think it's not so much that they are literally the arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, if that can be proven, and there have been certain things proven, like when they gave Hillary the questions in advance, and, you know, but I think it's just more a function of their worldview and their bias, and, you know, the way the society has evolved. These are the people who tend to all go to the same schools and, you know, back slap each other's backs and help each other and see things the way the others do and, you know, get ahead, you know, and they, whether they're in media or politics, they're part of a power elite that reinforces each other. I agree with you, but the trouble with getting rid of it is that we can't legally outlaw bias. You know, we have to just get out there with our own institutions and views, because, you know, if we have the power to shut them down, then, you know, when they get the power, they're going to shut us down. And you know, they've already tried, you know, but they can't really. They can't. There's still talk radio. There's still shows like this. There's still Fox News. There's a great new publication out west called The Free Press, which I've done a little writing for. So, you know, we do still have a free country. And what you're identifying, there is a bad and unholy alliance between the Democratic Party, the mainstream media, a lot of the elite colleges and universities in the country. They have a lock on this groupthink mindset that they push. But I don't think legislating it out of existence is the answer. I think it's peacefully fighting back with our own enterprises and our own ideas and our own peaceful demonstrations, you know, and our own power as consumers to, you know, not patronize these biased institutions. So, you know, we may disagree on how to deal with it, but I know what you're talking about, of course.
I mean, I look at NPR, at this journalist calling out the National Public Radio, which is funded by taxpayer dollars. I mean, to me, that in itself, it speaks volume as to where the media has gone. And you just look at, again, you look at the Washington Post, you look at the New York Times, everything is slanted. You look at how they push the Russia collusion, only to find out that there was no collusion, but a lot of these journalists receive Pulitzer Prizes for telling lies. Telling lies, and no one has come out to say, oops, we made a mistake. Telling lies, they won prizes. Shame on them. Shame on them.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting story you sent me about that man. I think his name is Berliner. He at NPR, he just pointed out that every single journalist there has one, you know, party affiliation, and you know, I mean, they couldn't handle it. They suspended him. It's good to see, though, that there are some independent voices like his. And you see he found an outlet in the Free Press, which is a great publication. And so we know about it and other people know about it. And, you know, I think that's what we need to keep doing is spreading the word, you know, that there is not one truth and there, you know, grown people know that ideological conformity being forced is totalitarianism, and that's not what we want.
Now, going back to this clown show circus that's taking place here in New York City, this is the third day of this trial with Donald Trump. They've been trying to select jurors. I think that as of today, they've managed to seat, I think, six jurors. I don't know if they'll be biased or unbiased. It's doubtful. You're looking at New York City, which is predominantly Democrat. As I mentioned the other night, I think 86% of New Yorkers voted against Trump. So how do we think he can get a fair trial? And then you have this judge who's unrelenting. Alvin Bragg is coming out saying that the judge should hold Trump in contempt of court because he said that he violated the gag order. And the gag order is that Trump can't say anything about the trial. Meanwhile, the witnesses, Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, can say whatever they want to say. They can attack Trump. They can even attack the judge. The judge is perfectly okay with it. They can go on all the fake news talk shows and just go after Trump and say he's guilty, he's guilty. You got Joe Biden in Pennsylvania saying that Trump is guilty, he's no good, he's tied up in court. Why do you think he's in court? But Trump can't say anything. He's just supposed to take it. And this is what I would present to all of these Democrats. If Joe Biden is so good, if you feel that he is the man for the day, why can't he just compete fairly? Why can't he allow the people to decide if they want Trump? I mean, that's too risky. So they want to have this clown show, this circus, to make everyone think that what they're doing is on the up and up, when we know that it isn't. You can hate Trump all you want to, but when you look at this case and realize, as we said last night, the statute of limitation has ran out during COVID. If they felt that Trump had done something wrong, they should have brought the charges up against him then. And it would have been a misdemeanor anyway. But no, Alvin Bragg, as we said last night, wanted to elevate them to a felony because he wants to try to lock Trump up. 34 counts. And each one of them read the same thing. Trump took the money, he put it here. He got the money from there, and he put it there. And then from there, he put it over here. Nothing is different. Read it for yourselves. But we're supposed to believe, oh, this is serious. Then you have the media coming out, the fake news. Oh, yeah, they got him now. And let's see what he's going to do. Now, here's the interesting thing about this clown show, the circus. If one of the jurors were to say not guilty, the media would go ballistic. Oh, it's not fair. It wasn't a fair trial. Someone lied. Someone cheated. Trump scared someone. He intimidated someone, as opposed to just allowing the verdict to stand. We also found out today that the Supreme Court is looking at this entire case about Jan 6 and how they use this broad brush to entrap all of these individuals that were protesting. Mm-hmm. And I heard that Neil Gorsuch asked the question, well, what about the other individuals that were protesting during the George Floyd? Should we also include them and lock them up? There wasn't an answer.
Right.
Heather?
Oh, of course not.
We are at a very dangerous stage in our history. Someone needs to wake up and call it out. I know these individuals they have Trump derangement syndrome. You have Katie Couric even coming out attacking supporters of Trump. And they always want to say the MAGA crowd, as if though that's a bad word. And I've always said the only reason why they use it is because they did not come up with the word MAGA themselves. So they want to try and make it, they want to demonize it and say, oh, whenever I see it, I become enraged. Now, we're due for a commercial break. But when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on this gag order, the judge, and how can they possibly give Trump a fair trial when it's in liberal New York City, and they could have very easily moved this case to Westchester County, whereby it's evenly split. But they didn't want to do it. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
So we're back from the commercial break. And when I were going to commercial break, I was saying that I wanted to get Heather's opinion on a couple of things. One of them being the gag order. This judge, Merchan, Juan Merchan, whom I feel should recuse himself, but he won't because he feels as if though he's the only judge that could handle this case, that could try it. He won't allow them to change venue because he wants it in Manhattan, because he knows that a large percentage of the folks here don't like Trump. So how can you get a fair trial? Why not just move the case to Westchester County? No, that's too much. That would be too much like right, because you have 50-50, 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans, and we don't want that. We want to stack the odds against Trump. I also want to hear her thoughts on how the media has been covering this. So, Heather, the floor is yours. The gag order. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it seems unfair to me, Rob. I mean, I don't know all the legalities. If that's typical when someone is on trial, on criminal trial, for them to be gagged. I know jurors aren't supposed to speak about the trial at all. But we know that the DA, Alvin Bragg, did a lot of talking and mouthing off about Trump before he even agreed to take the case. I mean, it seems like a big double standard. But, you know, I guess there's also some of Trump's lawyers are making the argument that because he's running for president, this is in the public interest and the people have the right to hear from their candidate. So, I mean, maybe legally speaking, I don't know the answer to whether it's typical of a defendant not in a criminal case to not be allowed to speak. Maybe it is not atypical, but this is obviously an atypical whole situation. And the larger point is everybody knows, everybody with a brain that's not up their butt knows this is a political prosecution. Alvin Bragg was opining on some of the most flamboyantly anti-Trump podcasts before he even agreed to take this and prosecute this. You know, we know that apparently the judge's kids are wildly anti-Trump. I mean, these, you know, this is New York City where there's tremendous groupthink and anti-Trump sentiment. I agree with you completely that there should have been a change of venue. It's you know, it's very hard for me to imagine he's going to get a fair trial there. Westchester County would have been much more fair. You know, it's not monolithic in terms of opinion, but it's nearby and it's part of New York. And I just think that, listen, fairness has gone out the window here. These people who hate him, I just think they'll stop at nothing. Well, I mean, they've tried and tried every way they can. You know, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the way Israel's enemies, you know, if they can't win conventionally, they'll do terrorism. If they can't do terrorism, they'll sneak in as workers and massacre everybody and then run home and hide among their kids and rack up the death toll. And, you know, it's like there's just no end to the unfair manipulative tactics that will be employed to try to get their way, to try to stop him. So that's the bigger story. And, you know, I mean, I guess this gag order is just another example of that.
It is. It is another example of it. And what about the jurors? Do you think that they could get an impartial jury?
No.
I mean, they've already seated. I'm hearing that they managed to get 6 people that they seated today. But they need 12. Mm-hmm. So do you actually think they will be able to find 12 men and women who've never heard of this case, who've never heard of Donald Trump? And by the way, the media is talking about it nonstop every night to make certain that if you are living under a rock, even if you were to peek from under the rock, you'll know who Donald Trump is. Do you think that's even possible, Heather?
I don't. Not in New York, no. I just don't. I don't. I think that this, if I ever saw a case that cried out for a change of venue, this is it. But this has not been about fairness with regard to Trump. It's just these people who hate him. They have an agenda. They feel that these are, you know, they say this isn't normal, that he isn't normal. And, you know, so they can resort to all kinds of crooked tactics. That's their mindset, in my opinion. And I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it's very hard for me to imagine him getting any kind of a fair trial there. So, you know, they may convict him of this nonsense, this technicality in terms of, you know, an NDA from whatever it was, you know, already, what was it, 10 years ago or something. I mean, it's a travesty because, as you know, Rob, we have a city on its knees, people being killed, raped, threatened. The subways are a hazard. I mean, I don't understand how the people of New York aren't angry that this is what their district attorney is dedicating his time and the city's resources to. It's just disgusting.
And what I don't understand about all this is that people are sitting back and they're watching this and they're giving opinions, as I mentioned during the first block. And they're saying he's guilty, he's guilty, he's guilty. And if you want to ask them guilty of what, and they'll say, well, you know what he did. It's like, no, tell me, what did he do? They can't tell you.
They don't know.
But they can parrot what the media is saying. And what the media will say is, he's a bad man. He's a racist. No, that has nothing to do with why he's been brought to court on charges that long since expired. But you have a district of attorney who's decided to bring them forward and to elevate them from being a misdemeanor to a felony. And if it is a felony, there would be election charges and the Federal Election Committee would have to look at it. And as I said last night, they looked at this and they took a complete pass. Why is it now that Alvin Bragg has been given the latitude by this judge to create a crime where there is no crime? And then this judge wants to sit as if though he like, yeah, what I'm doing is the right thing. And he knows what he's doing is the wrong thing. So what will happen now is that the next time a black man goes before this judge and he says, this judge can't be fair, we must believe that black man. We must believe the white man or anyone else because this judge can't be fair. And if his ruling is overturned, this trial is overturned, what does it say about everything else that this judge has done? This judge has sullied his own name and he's taking our justice system down with him. And for that, he should be embarrassed. He should be shamed, as we said on one of our shows, because we cannot continue to allow this to stand. And in my humble opinion, when we don't say anything, we are complicit. When we don't call this out, we are complicit. This is the same thing that black people went through during segregation. No one wanted to call it out. No one wanted to say this is wrong. We mentioned Emmett Till last night on our show and how those men were found not guilty. And people knew they were guilty. Even the media knew it. But people sat back and said absolutely nothing. We're doing the same thing now. We're sitting back and we're allowing a rogue judge to have his way simply because he's a judge and he sits on the high court. Well, judges can be corrupt also, unfortunately. They too can be corrupt, as well as we now know our justice system. Look at what happened during two summers ago when they allowed protests to go outside of the Supreme Court justices' homes and threaten them. And Merrick Garland did absolutely nothing. And that is the reason why today or yesterday, when the case was brought before the Supreme Court, that they're arguing before the Supreme Court of this catch-all to try to put all these Gen 6 people in jail, he put the question to them and said, well, if we're going to do that, what about the protesters who stood outside of Supreme Court justices' homes and protested? Should we lock them up for 20 years? What about a congressman who they were getting ready to take a vote, a procedural vote in the House, he decided to pull down the fire alarm. Should we throw him in jail for 20 years? Is the media talking about that? No, because they're hoping you didn't see that. They're hoping that you didn't see the reality that what they've been trying to hide, lie after lie after lie, to continue this crazy parade, the circus in Lower Manhattan. Heather, I got to say it again. Mm-hmm. the media has to be shut down in its current form because it's not a free press. It is, to me, it is not a free press. A free press does not operate this way. A free press is fair and balanced. This is a circus.
Well,
this is a corrupt cabal. Go ahead, Heather.
Yes, it is. It is. But, you know, we're free to say it. And that, you know, anybody who's smart enough to be listening to us knows it. And so that's why we, you know, that's our protection, you know, that the more speech we have, the more we discuss and debate and analyze things, then hopefully the truth will out. And, you know, a lot of people are very content to be brainwashed, but the way our country and the First Amendment is set up, the trouble is that for us to declare, even though I agree with you, they're a sham. You know, the media is lousy at this point. They carry water for one political party. So many things they've done. We can go back. They've out and out lied, you know, and twisted what Trump says again and again while calling him the liar. They've committed aggressive false propaganda against him, against his supporters, with all this mindless repetition that he and we are racists, with you know, no evidence of this. I mean, you know, it's just that the way things are when you're a public figure, you know, the standard for actual libel is extremely high. You know, you have to prove that the person's been damaged. You have to prove malicious intent. You have to prove that they absolutely know they're lying. And so much of this is in the realm of opinion. You know, the truth is they are opinion writers, these people, you know, at the reporters of the New York Times and certainly MSNBC and places like this. And instead of just saying, you know, they're opinion commentators the way we are doing here on this show, they pretend to be objective reporters of news. That's really the problem. Maybe it's a labeling issue. I mean, I don't believe in censorship, but, you know, maybe if there were some kind of a way to quantify. The thing is, I just don't like getting into the whole idea of regulating media. You know, unless you're talking about, you know, libel, slander, incitement, you know, these are very specific legal terms with narrowly tailored, you know, criteria that need to be reached for good reason, because, you know, what the other side would love to do is shut us down. You know, what they tried to do is accuse Trump of incitement because he said, go peacefully and get, you know, fight like hell. And, you know, some unfortunate people who weren't the brightest of us took him literally, even though he didn't tell anybody go hurt somebody or cheer them on after they became violent or anything like that. But I mean, the point is the standard of incitement wasn't met. It's very specific because you can't go around shutting down outlets and gagging people and, you know, censoring them for figurative language or for saying something that's offensive to you. You know, we know this as conservatives, that if the left could, and they have, you know, they've kicked people off of Twitter. Twitter's a private company, so they were able to get away with that. But I mean, they can't stop us and we can't stop them. This is, you know, the way the country's set up. It's an almost total, you know, protection of speech. And so, yeah, you know, now we have these media conglomerates that, you know, they carry water for one party, and a lot of people are followers and they don't question it. And I do think there may be certain specific things, like I always felt the Charlottesville thing, for instance, if he was an absolute slander of Trump. If you watch his presser and you listen to the whole thing, he says again and again, he explains white supremacists, neo-Nazis, anyone like that should be condemned totally. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about another group of historic preservationists who showed up to protect the statues. And, you know, and among them, there were very fine people. That's what he said. That was the whole context. Mainstream media, you know, absolutely twisted his very clear words into, oh, he said neo-Nazis were very nice people, very fine people on both sides. He wasn't taught, you know, he made pains to specify he was not talking about neo-Nazis or white supremacists or the KKK. He said it over and over again. But, you know, I mean, to me, that I think he would have a case for libel against them. But I guess there's so much of this. There's such a mountain of propaganda against him. And he is a public figure. It's like, where would he even begin to start suing them? I mean, it's like never ending. And that's why, you know, the First Amendment doesn't, you know, it's a much higher standard for maligning a public figure. So you see, you know, we have a free country. Again, I think the best thing we can do is to just keep marshaling our facts and logic and arguments and just be brave and be persistent and keep it up, because there are people listening, Rob. I mean, there are people. I mean, there is Fox News. There is One America. There is talk radio. There is us. There's this great new publication called The Free Press. I admit it's daunting, because the establishment in this country is very, it's like, you know, a ubiquitous blob all over everything. But there are still independent voices, and we have to just keep doing what we do.
And I think that they're counting on us shutting down and not saying anything. That's what they want. They want to intimidate us. They want us to look and see what they're doing to Trump as a signal, because we spoke about that last night, that they're saying that Trump is signaling all these white supremacist group. Well, that's what they're doing. They want us to look at what they're doing to Trump. Think about Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro is in jail right now because they're saying that he did not, what was it? He didn't testify. He decided not to follow through on a subpoena. Well, the House has subpoenaed Merrick Garland and said, we want you to release the tapes that Robert Hur did of Joe Biden. They haven't responded. Think of Eric Holder. He did the same thing through Fast and Furious. They didn't go to jail. But when it comes to individuals on the right, we're going to throw them in jail. Rules for thee, not for me. And if you dare counter us, this is what will happen to you. Look at Paul Manafort, spent time in jail. Roger Stone was about to go to jail. The Democrats aren't playing. They want to win by any means necessary. So this entire circus that's taken place in Lower Manhattan, that they want you to think, oh, there's nothing to it. We're doing the right thing. No one's going to say anything to us because we control the media. We control the way people think, and we won't spin it this way and that way. But then when you have the Supreme Court justice, a Supreme Court hearing, and they're questioning their behavior, they want to demonize the Supreme Court, which is what they will continue to do. And if the Supreme Court rules against them the way they ruled against them with Colorado's, and that they can't take Trump off the election ballot, they will demonize the Supreme Court. Oh, they're all Trump appointees, and we don't like them. And you can't believe anything that they say. Look at how hard they've been going after Clarence Thomas. Extremely hard. A black man, and you have black people that are sitting by and allowing this. Now, imagine if they were to go after Ketanji Brown Jackson that way. They would say, oh, bloody murder. You're going after her because she's a powerful black woman. But with Clarence Thomas, who cares? They might do whatever you want to do.
She had a little, as I recall, independence. I think she actually sided with the majority on that.
On Colorado, she did. Well, now, Heather, we're up against a hard break, and I'm going to get your thoughts on that when we come back from this commercial break. You'll listen to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. We'll be back after this break.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Back with the last half, and we were going to break. I had to cut Heather off because we had a hard commercial break to pay some bills, and we were talking about how the left have been going after Clarence Thomas, saying that you can't believe what he's saying. He's a cheat. He and his wife, they've been living up high on the hog with all these billionaires. But if the same thing were said about Ketanji Brown Jackson, it would cry bloody murder and attack her and attack you for coming out, calling out something obvious about her. And then Heather mentioned that she had sided with the court, the conservative judges, with this whole Colorado deal. And I'm glad that she did, in saying that you can't take Trump off the ballot. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, I think she's, I don't remember the exact opinion, but it was something to the effect that when, you know, kind of like what I'm saying to you about the media. I mean, when you let one side start shutting people down, you may hate the person, but you're opening the door to other people being blocked from running. You know, that's not democracy. It's not about your feelings about how terrible somebody is. You may be right, but that's, you know, there are millions of opinions that people have about who should or shouldn't be allowed to run, right? That's human nature, and that's what our whole system is designed as a guardrail against. We are a great, big, diverse, you know, raucous country full of opinions, and we have the closest thing ever tried on earth to freedom, which means freedom of speech. It's the first freedom that's outlined, right, in the Establishment Clause. And actually, I think religion is the first, but anyway, it's the First Amendment, and is speech also. And, you know, we just cannot start banning people from ballots. You know, I mean, it's just not the American way. And yes, Ketanji Brown Jackson, she ruled well on that, in my opinion. And, you know, I think there still is hope, Rob. I think that, you know, we have a strong system. Gosh knows, it's been through a lot. It's taken some powerful hits these past few years. And what they're doing to Trump is awful, in my opinion. I just think it's like cowardly, you know. It's all based on this wild, exaggerated notion that he's some kind of a dictator, which if you look at his last term in office, I would challenge anybody to back that up with facts. If anything, I think he was in a lot of ways not as heavy-handed as he could have been, you know, whether with COVID restrictions, whether with those riots. You know, I wouldn't call him weak, but I think if I have any criticism of Trump, it's that I think he stood down. Now, I mean, that was up to the governors to handle those riots, those violent riots, but they went on for 6 months, and I think he would have been justified in calling in the National Guard once Americans started dying in the streets, okay? He didn't. I mean, if he were some kind of a dictator, that would have been over in a day. I'm talking about, you know, the BLM Antifa assault on the American people that went on for 6 months. So if anything, I think, you know, he erred on the side of, you know, being very states' rights, very hands-off. You know, he didn't get us into any wars. I mean, on what basis is he a dictator? What is their, you know, argument to support this idea? It's nothing but an exaggeration in their own minds. It's a boogeyman they've constructed. And, you know, now they're using the agencies of government to block him from having a chance to get reelected.
Right.
And just, I mean, that is really more concerning to me even than the media. I mean, are the agencies of our government, you know, we know there's been a lot of corruption, you know, in the FBI,
It just goes back. It goes back to the whole Russia collusion with them, you know, the FBI participating in it. Now, just one more point that I want to bring about this, and then I want to pivot slightly and talk about what's happening in Israel, is that there was an article that came out that ABC, NBC, CBS on their newscast failed to identify that the Trump prosecutors are Democrats. At least 90% of the time, they failed to mention that. Now, as I mentioned during the first block of the show, Joy Reid came out and said, and they're all Black people that are prosecuting him. But the fact that they're all Democrats, and no one seems to think anything of this, like, oh, it's okay, it's fair, they can be objective, and we see that they can't because there are so many holes in this circus. But, you know, be that as it may, people think that it's okay. Now, pivoting slightly, I want to talk about another story that, you know, brings in the media as well. And I found this to be really devastating and horrible. And this was a story that was in your paper, Heather, the New York Post. Nearly 50 attendees of the Israel's Nova Festival died by suicide since October 7th. And, you know, October 7th last year, Hamas came in and viciously, brutally attacked Israel, killing thousands, and I think it was hundreds, and kidnapping some. And to this day, we don't know if those individuals that they've kidnapped are alive or dead. They did release some, but we don't hear much from this administration saying to release them, but we hear a lot about them asking Israel to stand down and to cease fire. We know that Israel attacked, I'm sorry, not Israel, but we know that Hamas, Iran attacked Israel this past weekend, firing almost 300 drones into Israel. Thankfully, the United States was able to, with its other allies, they were able to knock the drones down so that it didn't kill people. I think one girl was injured. But just going back to this story that 50 people have committed suicide.
Yeah.
It's just, it's horrible, Heather. What are your thoughts?
Just so, so awful, Rob. So awful. Just horrible. And, you know, we know Hamas is responsible, but it sounds like the mental health, you know, resources are inadequate, which pains me to say. I mean, it surprises me a little because Israel is such a country of great education and doctors and medical staff. I'm surprised. I was surprised to read that in this Knesset testimony, some of these survivors are saying that they're not getting the help they need. And I would just appeal to everybody listening, if there's anything we can do, post-traumatic stress is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And mental health, as you know, Rob, I believe is the most under attended to thing. I think more than anything else in this country and in Israel, if we could do one thing, if we could focus on one thing as a country, if we could come together, I think it would change so much. I think it's the most glaring, bleeding, desperate, urgent need in this country. I think it would, and in Israel too, clearly, you know, it's always somehow, you know, less prioritized, you know. I mean, of course, the body is number one, but, you know, the mind, the soul, you know, it's a horrible thing to be in a state of poor mental health and not have a lot of support and help. And, you know, in terms of pharmacology, in terms of, you know, just love and support. And I hope that you know, all these NGOs and this and that, I guess I don't expect much help from the outside world for Israelis. So I think Jewish people around the world, we're just going to have to really pull together and try. And I'm going to look into it myself and see if there's anything I can contribute or do, because it broke my heart to read that.
I mean, they're suffering silently, and I can't imagine them, you know, some of them probably blaming themselves that they're still here and that others died. And we hear that often from folks who are left behind after an event like that. They start to blame themselves and wonder why they were here and the others aren't. And it just goes to show the toll that it's taking on these innocent lives, and just goes back to what isn't this administration doing? I mean, it's almost as if though they're blaming Israel for what has happened, when we know that Hamas started this. They started it. And Israel we'll and finish
they're continuing it. They're perpetuating it. That you could end any time. Well, if they would return, you know, what whoever's left of the poor hostages and surrender. You know, I mean, that's one thing that all the international, you know, supposed humanitarians conveniently omit when they say it's a genocide. Well, you know, I mean, in World War II, when Hitler was murdering Jews by the millions, there was nothing any Jew could have done or did do to provoke anybody or anything. I mean, this is a war. It's not a genocide. It's a war that was started by Hamas, as you said, in the most bestial, vicious, intentionally cruel way imaginable. Now they continue to hold innocent people and torture them among their innocent children. They will not stop. They will not return these hostages. They will not surrender. So this whole idea that Israel's just doing all this for no reason is a lie. I mean, you can disagree with Israel's level of force or whatever, but don't you dare pretend that it's happening for no reason. They all know very well that it could stop today if Hamas would give up its total evil campaign to torture, kill, and try to eradicate another people. As you said, they started it. They also continue it. And that's what needs to stop. Anybody who cares about children on either side, you have to start with that. Then, okay, tell Israel to stop. But don't pretend that this was all, you know, dreamed up for no reason because Israel doesn't like the Palestinians. I mean, that's just a stupid, you know, denial of what we all know, which is that it's a war situation. And I mean, the level of carnage is horrible. It's all horrible. And I do feel sorry for the children on the Palestinian side, too. I cannot imagine the trauma on both sides. It's horrific. And it's these terrorists who've done it. And I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, the whole world ought to be hunting for them. If the whole world could just hunt them down, you know. And, you know, fine, evacuate the Palestinian women and children. That's what I'd like to see happen. You know, let these brave terrorists stand there without covering themselves with their kids. Let them fight if they care so much too.
And not only that, Heather, when you think about it, you look at everything that's happening, we are empowering Hamas because you look at the protests that are taking place here, as we shared with yep. our listeners last night, how you had Hamas supporters trying to shut down major streets and bridges so that people can't get to their destination. And this is happening not in red states, but in blue states. So they're fighting with themselves. They're accusing themselves of doing mm-hmm. something wrong. And we don't have a leader to come out and denounce this because he's afraid that if he denounces it, he might lose that small percentage of the vote. Because he knows that he needs every vote that he can, because some people just aren't going to vote for him. That's not to say they're going to vote for Trump, but they're certainly not going to vote for Joe. So he wants to make certain that I can appease them. And it goes back to what we've been saying here on a couple of shows that you've been on, is that the Jewish community has got to wake up. Just imagine if they were to come out and denounce what's happening now. If they would denounce this administration and say, no, Joe, you're wrong. You're on the wrong side of history. You're almost like Hitler. And I think that he is, now that I think about it. He's Hitler. He's a modern day Hitler. Well, he sees the persecution. Now, this is my opinion, Heather. This is my opinion. I think that he's Hitler. And I think that we have to demonize this man for people to wake up. Because they're looking at him. They're saying, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I think he's more like Neville Chamberlain, and no, I think Iran Hitler. Is Hitler.
I think they're both
people
Hitler.
Who want to commit genocide are Iran and the Islamist fanatics. They're the genocidal Hitlers, and Biden and the liberals are the Neville Chamberlains in denial about that, who would rather, you know, fund an unending stalemate on the other side of the world against Russia, which I'm not even defending Russia or Ukraine, whatever, none of that was ever existential for us. What is that we have Islamist fanatics who've declared they intend to destroy Israel and commit a second Holocaust, and they're coming for the Christians next. These people are our mortal enemies, self-declared. They've been tormenting us and our people for 40 years, not Russia. Okay, I'm not saying Russia is so great, but, you know, they may be bothering and torturing their own dissidents and doing whatever the hell they're doing over in their hemisphere. But the people who are tormenting Israel, our close allies, bombing our U.S. ships, abducting our U.S. citizens and international citizens and Israelis, who are dismembering our soldiers, who are responsible for thousands of deaths and dismemberments of U.S. Marines and soldiers in Iraq, are Islamist fanatics funded by Iran. These are our modern day Hitler. This is the enemy we do not want to face head on. We want to get involved in all kinds of other questionable stuff because we can't face that we have a godless, murderous, determined, fanatical enemy that's coming for us. They're coming for the Jews and they're coming for the Christians next. They have declared it. They have said it. They have done it. They have shown it again and again and again. And our foreign policy establishment just wants to sleepwalk. That's the Neville Chamberlain. That's who Biden is. He won't dismantle that regime. He gives them money. He appeases them. Even most of the Arab world hates them. There's no reason the whole world should be putting up with this. They are the rising menace, the Islamist Republic of Iran and the fanatics they fund. This is the evil of our time, and this is what needs to be faced. It's as clear as day, Rob. It's been clear for many years now. But for some reason, it's the fight we don't want to confront fully.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. They are the fanatics. They are evil. They're going after Jews, and Christians will be next. And I have to point out, this administration doesn't seem to care anything about Christianity. Look at how they allow groups to just step all over Christianity. They don't want to hear anything about Christianity, but any other religion, they will embrace it, especially Islam. Now, hey, if that's your religion, that's fine. But to try and shut down another, Heather, I don't know what has happened in our country, and we talk about this all the time, but it's time for people to wake up. It is time to get out of this circus, get off this crazy merry-go-round, and realize that the country is falling apart around us. This great country that Trump wants to restore and bring back. He keeps saying, make America great again. They don't like it, and that's the reason why they want to stop him. That is the reason why we have the circus and Lower Manhattan. That is the reason why Biden is looking the other way when it comes to Israel. Now we're all out of time. I'm glad you were able to join us. As we always say when we're ending the show, God bless America. God bless Israel. Heather, thank you for coming on. And we hope you'll come back again tomorrow and listen to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. Good night.